Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Many of you know that Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, were both made in the image of God. We read this up front in the opening chapter of the Bible. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is truth that we sometimes find hard to grasp. We talked about this challenge yesterday. So let us ask, what does it mean that Adam and Eve, and us, are made in the image of God? I said I have five ways in which we bear the image of God, all found within the Bible, to share with you. Last time I gave you the first. Today I want to remind you of what I said, and then give you a little bit more about it. But before we move on to the second way in which we are made in the image of the living God. First, we said that we exist as living personal beings. God is a living personal being, and so are we. I wanted to add the following, but ran out of time. As a way to see Adam and Eve as living personal beings, think about this in the context of their physical bodies. Adam had a body. Eve had a body. In Genesis 2, we read about their bodies in some detail. We've already done that with the man's, and soon we will see that with the woman's body. Then, what they did was to use their bodies to express that they were living, personal beings. The man and the woman talked to one another. They listened to one another, using their mouths and ears. They worked that garden together, using their arms and hands and legs and all the muscles it took to cut back the bushes and trim the hedges. They enjoyed sex with one another as husband and wife, using the sex organs in their bodies, so that their living personal being was expressed through their physical bodies. Now, it is true that God does not have a physical body. The Bible teaches us that God is spirit. John 4:24 says it plainly, God is spirit. So while we know God does not have a body as we do, there is still something about our bodies that reflects his image. We are like God in this respect. He has stamped his image on our being, and there is a physical bodily component to this. Each day we function, we carry out our lives in these bodies, bearing on us the image of God. I wanted to add this as we get going on this Friday. And now I think we are prepared to move on to the second way in which we are made in the image of God. The second way that we are made in the image of God is that we are relational beings. Yes, this is related to the first, but stands on its own. God is clearly relational. The living God related to this first man and the first woman in the garden, and God relates to us in the garden of our lives. Likewise, we relate to God, and we relate to one another. We do not always relate well, but we live in relationship to God and each other. In this way, we bear the image of God. And of course, the most profound way in which God demonstrates his relationship to us is through the life of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that God the Father sent Jesus the Son to us in order to forgive us of our sin such that we can live in relationship directly to God. As Jesus said in John 5, verse 37, "The Father sent me." And Jesus certainly taught that, like God, we are to be relational beings. Think of how Jesus emphasized the two greatest commandments. In the Gospels, he says, "Love the Lord your God," and "Love your neighbor." That is love in two relational directions. Love upwards to God, vertical, and love sideways to other people, horizontal. This love is expressed in relationship. Whenever we love God and love one another, we are bearing the image of God. God is love, and we are to demonstrate His love in our relationships. And this is what the people of the world are missing out on when they attempt to vigorously erase the image of God from themselves. They refuse to express love in relation to God and one another. And I fear this is what many Christians are also doing. In relationships, we get hurt, and so wounded, we pull back. But to bear the image of God means we are relational beings. We need one another, and we need God. So that as God's image bearers, we will not be able to stay away from Him and one another for long. To do so is to destroy ourselves. Have you ever wondered why it is hard to totally withdraw from all relationships? In 2020, we dealt with the coronavirus, and that meant that worldwide people were ordered to stay away from one another. We had to social distance. While that may have been effective in slowing the spread of the virus, it was disastrous for our mental and emotional health and well-being. Suicides went way up. Why? Because people bear the image of God. As God is relational, so are we. We are made to live in relation to one another. We cannot bear to be socially distant. As you know, I love coffee, and one of the observations I often make in a coffee shop is the deep sense of how strangers will live in relation to one another. We have a local coffee shop nearby us, and whenever I go in there, especially in the mornings, I find the same group of elderly gentlemen in one corner, sipping from their coffee cups and talking about the day's news. I have deduced from the content of their conversations that these men are not Christians, but little do they know they're bearing the image of God in the sense that they're living in relation to one another. Even strangers do that. How much more so friends and family, and certainly the church. This sense of belonging to one another comes from God. We are made in the image of God. We are relational beings. And now third, we are made in the image of God as emotional beings. We know this about ourselves, right? You and I are full of emotions. In fact, we often express multiple emotions at the same exact time. Have you been the loving father or mother of the bride or groom at a wedding? On the one hand, you are filled with such joy and happiness for your son and daughter. On the other hand, you have sadness or sentimentality that they're all grown up now, leaving you to cleave to their spouse. Where did the time go? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, attending the funeral of a family member or friend who also belongs to Christ? A part of you swells with joy and hope, knowing this believer is absent from the body, but present with the Lord. He or she is in heaven. But you grieve. You are sad. You will have to live down here without this person. At Christian funerals, we both laugh and cry. We have such mixed emotions. But you ask, does God have emotions? I answer, yes, He does. Let's take a couple of the emotions I just mentioned, joy and grief. Does God feel and express joy? Yes. Listen to Zephaniah 3, verse 17. What? Yes, there is a book of the Bible called Zephaniah. It is near the end of the Old Testament. And here is what Zephaniah 3:17 says. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. God has joy. We have joy. And God also has grief. Listen to Genesis 6, verse 6. The Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. Genesis 6, 6. Or think of Jesus, who is God. Over in John 11, 35, we read, Jesus wept. God grieves. We grieve. God has emotions. We have emotions because we are made in the image of God. It is valuable that I say a distinction must be made between God's emotions and ours. God does not have mood swings. He is not moody, up and down, as we often are. The Bible records God's emotions in a way that we can understand. That is part of how God relates to us who He is. But unlike us, all of God's emotions are grounded in His holiness. God cannot sin, and therefore God's emotions are always expressed without sin. We do not have time to do this now, but go through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and follow Jesus around closely. You will read of Him expressing emotion, but He always does so perfectly. Some Christian traditions and churches will teach that human emotion is bad, even evil, and we need to deny or suppress our emotions. That is not biblical. We must be on guard about sinning with our emotions, yes, definitely. Be self-controlled. But there are times to have grief, to have joy, to feel angry, and of course to love, but also to hate, and even to be jealous. The idea that Christians are emotionless robots is just not true. Do not suppress or deny your emotions, rather give them over to Jesus such that He can transform them. Much more can be said about this, but we're nearing the end of our time. The key point to take with you is this: we are made in the image of God as emotional beings. And as this week ends, I remind you we are compiling a profile of the first man and the first woman at this time in the garden. And so far, we have this. They were both real historic people. Second, they were made in the image of God. And so that we know what it means to be made in the image of God, we have said first that we exist as living personal beings. Second, we are relational beings. Third, we are emotional beings. More on this next week when you join me on Monday for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.